devastation, Butte Environmental Council is asking you to come out on September 21st and love your watershed like your life depends on it. The Butte Environmental Council is pleased to announce the Bidwell Park and Chico Creeks cleanup will take place on September 21st, 2019 from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Our 32nd annual cleanup is an event dedicated to the betterment of the community and its environment by working together to keep our local parks and waterways waste-free. Volunteers will meet at Hooker Oak Park starting at 9 a.m. and will work until 12:30 p.m. Following the cleanup, an appreciation barbecue will be held at Hooker Oak Park and catered by Madison Bear Garden from 1 to 3 p.m. Every single year, hundreds of community volunteers and groups remove literal tons of waste and sort it to be recycled, reducing the amount sent to the landfill and out of our parks and creeks. The Beck Annual Cleanup is an all-ages event organized by Butte Environmental Council, the City of Chico, and many wonderful local sponsors that is free to the public. Please register in advance and find more information at becknet.org or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Butte Environmental Council.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., with to-go and catering available. For more info, find them at iloveohmfoods.com or on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to show 1936, the September 4th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal news, animal rights, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. What do we have coming up, Danny?
On today's show, we'll be talking mostly good news and mostly about elephants. Our first news piece will be about how a big Japanese e-commerce site will ban the sale of ivory products, followed by the news news from Denmark, which is in the process of banning wild animals in its circuses. We'll then talk about the recent ban of exports of wild elephants from Africa to other countries, including the United States. And we'll end, as always, with the Chico Vegan Calendar of Events. Jeannie, take it away.
Thanks, Danny. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
That's co-host Danny Toms back in the studio. Japan's biggest e-commerce platform said last week that it would ban the sale of ivory, joining its competitors and putting renewed pressure on the Japanese government to ban the trade in what's the world's largest ivory market. Yahoo Japan said it made the decision after confirming multiple reports that ivory bought on its online auction site was, quote, smuggled abroad and detected by foreign customs authorities in contravention of international rules banning cross-border trade. Yahoo Japan, which is no longer affiliated with Yahoo in the United States, said the decision came after consultations with the group Traffic, which is a group that monitors illegal wildlife trade, and that group's sister organization, the World Wildlife Fund for Nature. A Yahoo Japan spokesperson said ivory had been sent to China and detected by customs authorities there. Many of Yahoo Japan's competitors already have such bans in place, with Rakuten and Mercari taking that step in 2017, and the site GMO Pepebo following suit this year. After China banned the ivory trade at the end of 2017, Japan then became the largest legal market for ivory, driven by demand for hankos, which is the personal seal that Japanese people use in place of signatures for anything from opening a bank account to an employment contract. It's basically like a stamp, only it's made out of ivory traditionally. Many countries have joined wildlife groups in pleading with Japan and the European Union to close down their domestic ivory markets, arguing that they contribute to illegal cross-border ivory trading and ultimately to elephant poaching. But Japan's government insists that all the ivory in the country was purchased when international trade was legal.
Hmm.
That's a big claim, don't you think?
They keep making new stamps, but apparently claiming that they already had all the ivory stockpile.
A study from the group Traffic released in 2018 identified Yahoo Japan as the single biggest online platform for elephant ivory sales in Japan, with over 4,000 ivory items and 35 whole tusks worth more than $340,000 sold over a four-week period in just June and July of last year. Traffic said its research revealed a lack of effective regulation over online trade and evidence of illegal international trade. The Environmental Investigation Agency also has documented persistent loopholes in Japan's domestic ivory controls that facilitate illegal trade. Wildlife groups say Japan's poorly regulated market and lack of effective controls at its borders represent an easy target for ivory poachers to smuggle and launder tusks. Although China has tightened customs checks since banning the ivory trade, wildlife groups say poached ivory is still making its way there. At a key meeting of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, also known as CITES, in Geneva this month, countries agreed to examine whether domestic ivory markets are contributing to poaching or illegal trade, but stopped short of calling for those markets to be immediately closed. Concerns in Japan have also been heightened by a boom in tourism from China and, of course, the approach of the Olympics in Tokyo next year. Iris Ho, senior wildlife specialist at Humane Society International, said she hoped Yahoo Japan's decision will soon spell the end of Japan's domestic ivory market. That was from an article entitled "Yahoo Japan to End Ivory Sales Amid Evidence of Smuggling to China" by Simon Denyer from the August 28th edition of the Washington Post. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Over to you, Danny.
A quick story here about Denmark, who is spending 11 million kroner, which turns out to be 1.6 million in U.S. terms, to buy the country's last four circus elephants, to give them a proper retirement as the government is moving to ban wild animals and circuses. Danish Food and Fisheries Minister Mogens Jensen says a ban on wild animals and circuses is expected later this year. The ministry said last week that there were no immediate plans as where to put the elephants. Rambolin, Lara, Junga, and Jenny snuck in there, but applicants willing to take them in should offer a timely takeover and proper welfare proposal. In the meantime, the group Animal Protection Denmark would ensure their welfare. Sorry, left my tongue at home. That was a short Associated Press article from September 2nd. So this is kind of nice. They know they're going to pass these laws, so they're kind of preemptively buying these elephants. I don't know what that means to buy them.
How it gets financed is this is taxpayer money.
Yeah.
My understanding from just using Google Translate to look at the Danish news is that these elephants will be going free to zoos. So when they say sanctuary, in this case they mean zoos, but that the zoos are not paying for these elephants.
Like getting them from the circus, and this probably makes it easier to shut these circuses down and not have the circuses fight you and sue you. They could just be like, hey, pay us a lot for these elephants, and I guess I'll go retire, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. So that's a little bit of good news. Just there has been so much bad news lately that I just had to, like, focus on a little bit of good news here this week.
Sure.
Okay, what do we have coming up next, Danny?
countries that are part of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, how did you say this? CITES, recently agreed to limit the sale of wild elephants caught in Zimbabwe and Botswana, delighting conservationists but dismaying some of the African countries involved. Wildlife experts said a resolution approved by CITES member countries at a recent meeting in Geneva was a momentous win for elephants because it restricts their sale to zoos. The European Union tweaked the language of the resolution to reach a compromise that limits exports of live elephants outside of Africa, but allows for some exceptions relevant to Europe. For example, allowing an elephant already in France to be shipped to nearby Germany without having to be sent back to Africa first.
Yeah, or I guess at this point, Denmark.
Right. Most importantly, the new resolution also means that zoos will no longer be able to import wild-caught African elephants to the United States, China, and many other countries beyond the elephant's natural habitat. Yay. The resolution passed by a vote of 87 in favor, 29 against, and 25 abstaining. The U.S. in our current climate voted against it. Animal advocates applauded the move, even though, as is typical for animal advocates, some felt it didn't go far enough. Dozens of celebrities, including actress Judi Dench and comedian Ricky Gervais, had signed a letter to the president of the EU's executive branch saying it would be, quote, obscene for the EU to endorse snatching wild baby elephants and condemning these beautiful leviathans to a life of captive misery. DJ Schubert, a wildlife biologist with the Animal Welfare Institute, felt the VIP lobbying paid off, saying that, quote, probably thanks to the celebrities that got involved and all the press attention this initial decision got, the European Union was put in a bit of a box. What they ultimately decided to do, to their credit, is they decided to come up with amended text instead of trying to trash the entire decision that was made previously. The EU's action was part of a debate over language at CITES to restrict trade in live elephants to countries with in situ conservation programs, or secure areas in the wild, essentially restricting trade to stay within Africa. Botswana and Zimbabwe have the world's largest populations of African elephants for a combined total of over about 200,000. Some African officials said the new proposal would deny them some much-needed cash and that they should be free to do what they wished with their elephants. That was an article titled Limits on Sales of African Elephants to Zoos Gain Approval, by Jimmy Keaton and Farai Mutsaka from the August 27th issue of the Washington Post.
This also made me very, very happy to thwart the export of generally baby elephants from Africa to take their place in captivity in American zoos. Doing some research, one of the big triggers of this, in 2016, three American zoos cooperated to pull off a clandestine operation to fly a group of elephants out of Africa, despite legal challenges set up by the animal advocacy community to block that transfer. And that enraged conservationists who kept the pressure on, and hence you see this kind of decision by CITES. And why are they importing these elephants? Mm-hmm. Because they have trouble breeding elephants in captivity.
Well, they don't. I thought zoos were about conservation and protecting the species.
Right? Yeah, no, they're about ticket sales in order to pay the bills for these critters. Elephants don't breed well in captivity, or if they do, the mothers often turn around and kill the babies. And the elephants then engage in behavior that is completely unknown in the wild. And that's because the elephants probably know on a fundamental level that they themselves, inside themselves, that this is not a life for their babies. Yeah. It's not a life for their babies. So
that's pretty good news. So there won't be, if I understand this right, any elephants coming out of Africa.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's kind of huge. Actually.
Yeah, I do think that last little bit about African officials saying that they should have a right to be able to do with, you know, with their elephants. That's something you also see coming out of Brazil,
the Amazon,
and their the right to be able to exploit their own quote natural resources. It is a valid argument in many points. Yeah. I mean, we don't have any plains left. We don't have very little riparian ecosystems left in the United States, and because we've converted all that to making money.
And traditionally, that's why we have given a lot of aid to some of these countries, and there's various programs around it. But yeah, it's a valid point. And if in the West we want to tell the third world, or should I use that term anyway, countries to what they should do with their resources, we should probably find a way to make them happy on their own, you know, so they don't need to.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you if America had managed to colonize the Amazon and didn't have to deal with mosquitoes, there would be no Amazon right now.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We would have burned that thing to the ground 200 years ago.
So.
All right. What do you got, Jeannie?
Our last news story is by activist and vegan activist Darcy Reeder, who wrote a brief but thoughtful piece about loving animals for the Medium website last week. I just really liked it. So this is Darcy's voice, and I thank her for writing this. The piece opens, "You're vegan? Oh, so you must really love animals, huh? I hear this all the time when someone learns that I'm vegan. Other first responses include, people need protein, though. I could never give up cheese. So you don't have any leather shoes? You eat fish, though, right? So, like, you don't eat wheat? And finally, I had a veggie burger once. It was actually pretty good. So the question is, do I love animals? First off, animals is a really broad category. Some animals, like bunnies, never fail to fill me with joy. I also reliably get hard eyes for rats, pigs, and elephants. But I wouldn't be thrilled to meet a shark while I was out for a swim. I don't eat bunnies, rats, pigs, or elephants. And I don't eat sharks either. My opinions on individual species aside, there are countless types of animals I've never even heard of. If I ever come upon an animal I don't recognize, my reaction won't be to find out how they taste. Not because I love them. I don't even know these animals. I don't memorize animal facts. I don't have a degree in biology or even know or care what you'd call such a focus on animals. I don't write love poems to animals except to my spouse, my kid, and my dog. Actually, I prefer cat videos over actual cats. And in the end, humans are animals. I wouldn't eat a human whether I love them or not. Nope, not even Hitler. Not even Trump. I don't eat any animals whether I love them or not. Meat eaters, do you eat animals because you hate them? No, I don't think so. So no, I didn't go vegan because I just love animals. You probably love animals just as me, maybe more. Do you get giddy when you discover a bird's nest full of little blue eggs? Of course, we all do. Do you read books with animal characters to your kids? They're not drawing all those talking bears just for us vegans. I avoid the zoo. Cages, no thank you. But those of you who go there probably do it out of a feeling of love or fascination for the animals there. Regardless of my feelings for animals, I don't eat them. I don't cage them or kill them. I don't need to love an animal to choose not to kill her baby so I can drink her breast milk. Some animals I do love. Some I like. Some, it's complicated. I'm afraid of many animals. Mostly their wild lives have nothing to do with mine, and I think that's fantastic. Their right to live freely shouldn't be contingent on human love. Regardless of my feelings for animals, I don't eat them. I don't cage them or kill them. I don't need to love an animal to choose not to kill her baby so I can drink her breast milk. That's just basic respect. The love part is optional. And that was an essay by animal activist Darcy Reeder on the difference between love and respect. I'm vegan, but not because I love animals. And that is at the heart of what animal rights is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about respecting the needs of one species as much as your own species and giving that proper attention.
Yeah, I mean, I like this because it points out a lot of the sort of common logical fallacies you run into, and even the primary one here of, well, if you're vegan, you must love animals. Well, does it follow that if you're not vegan, you hate animals? No. So why do you have to love them to be vegan? And why does that have to do anything to do with the issue at hand? It's just sort of a, you know, it's a pattern and a fallacy and a way of thinking, which is understandable how, you know, omnivores come to these, everybody feels a bit awkward and typically ashamed when they're confronted with a vegan because their own internalized guilt.
Yeah.
So there's certain kind of easy responses that come out.
So, anyway, that links to all these articles will be posted on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and the Instagram page. We do have a piece of breaking news that I wanted to share, and that is California has enacted a new ban on fur trapping for animal pelts, making it California the first state to outlaw a centuries-old livelihood that was intertwined with the rise of the Western frontier.
Wow, the first state even.
The first state. Yep. And I'm sure there'll be more to follow. The Wildlife Protection Act of 2019, signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom today, prohibits commercial or recreational trapping on both public and private lands. The roughly six dozen trappers still working in the state, down from more than 5,000 a century ago, cannot afford to pay the full cost of implementing and regulating their own industry. The ban comes as California lawmakers consider more aggressive measures to protect animals and wildlife, often threatening age-old traditions. Legislators are considering proposals to ban the sale of all fur products, including fur coats, and to outlaw the use of animals in any circus in the state, with the exception of domesticated horses, dogs, and cats. Under the new law, using traps to catch gophers, house mice, rats, moles, and voles is still permitted. I imagine wildlife services will be able to still trap animals. The law was backed by the Center for Biological Diversity and the nonprofit group Social Compassion in Legislation, which spearheaded a recent bill that put an end to the sale of puppy mill bred dogs, cats, and rabbits. Opponents to this legislation included the California Farm Bureau Federation, which warned that the bill, if passed, could have significant economic consequences for the agriculture industry.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was a little bit of good news just happening today. I thank all the animal advocates that made that happen. That legislative change can sometimes be easy, but it's never simple. I'm sure that this was not easy either.
Yeah, I mean, as the song was playing when we came in, it's another brick in the wall. You know, all these little bricks coming, in this case, down. You know, people might say, there's not that much trapping anyways. Better things to worry about. But then everything else you said, well, wait a minute, and then they're going to move on to banning fur in general, and then they're moving on to circuses further. So it all this legislation adds up.
Yeah, and it creates a more compassionate, respectful world, at least in California. All right, you've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. I'm hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms.
All right, it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Get out your iPads and compacts and whatever old machinery you have that you track time with.
Compacts, huh?
I think I was going to say an iPack, which was a thing, and I realized I would lose everybody as I'm doing right now. What do you have, Jeannie?
All right. Coming up on September 14th, Preeti Rang Animal Sanctuary in Dixon, California will be celebrating its 6th anniversary and hosting a vegan potluck on Saturday, September 14th, and they invite everyone. The sanctuary is located on 40 acres of pastures and wetlands and was founded in 2013 by a wonderful husband and wife team of former Silicon Valley professionals who have now devoted their efforts to animal rights and promoting a vegan way of living. For more information, go to their website at preetirangsanctuary.org. I'm not going to spell that. You can just check the link and the Facebook event through Non-Human Radio. Coming up on Monday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Tinseltown Theater, The Game Changers, a new film by James Cameron, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Jackie Chan. What do those three guys have in common? This film is going to be documenting the explosive rise of plant-based eating in professional sports. And that will be showing one time only on Monday, September 16th at Tinseltown Theater. Tickets are available online at fathomevents.com. Coming up on September 20th is the Global Climate Strike Rally, sponsored by the 350 Butte County and Sunrise Movement in Chico and allied groups. They'll be hosting the two-hour rally in the Chico City Plaza to call for and take steps within our communities and across differences to build a more just and sustainable future. The rally will call on all of us to join young people in the streets to demand climate justice for all, including non-human animals. In the week that follows, 350 Butte County will continue to mobilize to create the changes and the solutions that we know we need. KZFR's Ecotopia will be broadcasting live interviews from the rally to the Peace and Social Justice Program on that day. The event's going to be zero waste, so please pack in and pack out whatever you take. And for more information, go to 350buttecounty.350bayarea.org. And you heard the promo for September 21st, the 32nd annual Bidwell Park and Chico Creeks Cleanup is coming, hosted by the Butte Environmental Council. That'll be Saturday, September 21st from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For folks to meet at the Hooker Oak Softball Park. And then you get an assignment for an area to clean up and come back and bring your trash. And that will collect tons of trash and recyclables from our local waterways.
I thought the park mess was a recent issue that we blame entirely on the homeless. Apparently, this has been going on for 32 years. I wonder if it's somebody else. I don't know.
For more information and to register, go to becknet.org. And coming up on September 26th is the Buffalo Field Campaign Roadshow. On Thursday, September 26th from 7 to 9 p.m., the Pageant Theater is hosting the Buffalo Field Campaign Roadshow, where you can learn how to save and protect Yellowstone National Park's wild buffalo. Buffalo Field Campaign's co-founder Mike Mies will be in Chico for an evening of music, stories, videos, and education. For more information, go to buffalofieldcampaign.org and look for the roadshow link. And just to round out one last event, October 5th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Butte Environmental Council office at 313 Walnut Street, there will be a day of connection, art, music, and local vegan food featuring the muralist Wyatt Hersey. Hersey will be creating an endangered species-themed mural in the Beck Conference Room, and the community is invited to celebrate. Near and Dear Vegan Baked Goods will have a local vegan treats for sale, and there will also be live music, because it wouldn't be a Chico event without live music. For more information, go to the Butte Environmental Council website at becknet.org or call them at 891-6424. That's it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. As always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Take it away, Danny.
Today's Animal Rights Quote of the Week is by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This was from a recorded conversation she had with the young Swedish environmental activist Greta Thunberg? How do you think?
Thunberg,
in June. AOC and Greta were talking about the despair that is taking hold of so many of us right now about all that is wrong with the world. AOC said her participation in the resistance at Standing Rock to fight against the construction of an oil pipeline gave her insight into hope, saying that it was there that she, quote, learned that hope is not something you can have. Hope is something that you create with your actions. Hope is something you have to manifest into the world. And once one person has hope, it can be contagious. Show notes and links to articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on Instagram at Chico Vegan.
All right. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board.
Its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff.
Thank you. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, caged, and perhaps even loved. But they do want to be respected.
Yes.
Or otherwise abused.
Our theme music, we're mixing it up today. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against. Please stay tuned for The Real Issue coming up next. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms signing off. And remember, be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.
Every action is a reaction. We've got one planet and one chance.
2018.